Welcome to Zorba Pastor on Your Health. I'm Tom Clark with Family Doc Zorba Pastor, here to talk with you about what's new in healthy living, share some down-to-earth advice, and some great lifestyle tips to help you get the most out of life. If you have a question for Zorba, here's the number to call, 1-800-462-7413. Along with our caller, Zorba, some interesting topics to talk about.
Yes. Are those polar bear plunges really good for your health?
I hope not. What else?
If not, you're in trouble. Yeah. And snoring. We know its association with sleep apnea, but what about other problems for people who snore? How does that affect their health? Or is that suggestive that their health may not be what it should be?
Mm-hmm. What's our recipe?
Mushroom quinoa risotto. Now, try saying that three times. Mushroom quinoa risotto.
I love your risotto.
Don't you like it? Rolling my tongue. It's a delicious dish. And even though you may not be able to pronounce quinoa, I bet you could taste it if I gave it to you.
Our medical mythbuster is coming up later in the hour. Let's get to the phones now, Zorba. We welcome our first caller, a listener with us in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Hi.
Hi.
How can we help?
Well, I just have a very kind of embarrassing problem, and I'm sure other people feel the same. It's foot odor. I've tried washing my shoes, buying new socks at the same time. I still have the same problem, and just curious if you could possibly give me some remedies or advice on what to do different.
Zorba will definitely help you. I got to tell you, this is not something you need to be embarrassed about. It happens with a lot of people. And there are ways, Zorba, to deal with this?
Oh, yes, yes. So let's talk about your shoes first of all. What do you normally wear?
Tennis shoes.
Tennis shoes, okay. You have one pair, two pairs of shoes? Do you change
your
shoes?
I have about four or five pairs, but I wear one mainly to work.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so you wear
the most comfortable pair.
Uh-huh. The most obviously. So you don't wear 3-inch spikes when you go to work.
No, I'm on my feet all day long.
One of the first things we have to look at from a shoe point of view is moisture in our feet when we sweat. It's usually a moisture problem is one of the issues. So having two pairs of shoes that you alternate can actually make a huge difference in this before we even look at the feet, because what happens, the shoes actually get wet. Alternatively, there are shoe dryers that you can actually get that are often used for boots, in ski boots. Mm-hmm. And you come home, put your shoes in a shoe dryer, turn in the timer for 15 minutes, and it dries out the shoe. It's kind of a hair dryer for shoes. What kind of socks do you wear?
Just basic socks. Just something I bought from Walmart.
Okay, so getting two or three pair of socks and sometime during the day changing the socks once, sometimes twice, bringing a Ziploc bag in, you change your socks, it's 4 hours into it, you sit down, put on a different pair of socks. That can make a difference in terms of the moisture that's there. So changing your socks, wearing a sock that is a cotton sock or a sock that is cotton poly pro sock. But cotton socks that are inexpensive, cheap, make a difference because, again, you're going to get rid of the moisture. Putting it in a Ziploc bag, you're done in terms of that. And the next thing is drying your feet. So when you get up, if you shower in the morning, shower in the evening, before you put on that first pair of socks, talcum powder, cornstarch, anything that's going to wick away moisture will make a difference. And also, sometimes putting in something in your shoe at the same time, which are not odor eaters that can be somewhat more expensive. They basically put a perfume in the shoe. But basically putting some in the shoe also make a difference, once again, to get rid of the moisture. And then the final recommendation is there's something you can get from your doctor called Drysol, Drysol. It's now under a generic, and it's a super antiperspirant, and it's wonderful. It works really, really well. You put it on once or twice a week, and it reduces the amount of sweating in your feet. And if the first things don't work, you know, and I would try that first, I would go for the Drysol.
Okay, great.
That can make a big difference. Your feet will be as dry as the Sierra Desert.
Okay.
Thank you so much for your call.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. 800-462-7413, our toll-free number. And Zorba, a listener with us in Bozeman, Montana. Hi.
Hello.
How can we help?
Well, I was hoping that you could give me some ideas on things to try for my extremely dry skin.
Mm-hmm. Dry all the time, just the last year or two or so, or all your life, or what?
mostly all my life. When I was a child, I had patches of eczema, and I have come down with it on a couple of spots, but it's more of an overall, just constantly feel like I'm shedding.
Have you done anything for this?
You know, in the past, I've tried a few things, nothing really diligently. You know, I took extra vitamin E for a spell. You know, I'd make sure and drink plenty of water. But as far as getting it diagnosed or going after something routinely, not yet. Not really. Lotion. Lots of lotion. And I don't like that. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you don't like lotion. So, first of all, how often do you bathe or shower?
Daily.
Daily. Okay. So you shower daily. What do you use? What kind of soap do you use?
Over-the-counter soaps like Lever 2000, or my wife likes Dove, so I like Dove.
Okay. If your wife likes Dove, you like Dove. You get points for that, by the way, if your wife is listening.
I get points for all kinds of things like that, yeah.
those are important things. And like you said, what do you put on your skin? What kind of lotions do you put on the skin?
I prefer Aveeno, oatmeal lotion.
Which is good. Aveeno is excellent. A couple of things. First of all, you're doing some things right. The Dove soap is right. Showering every day is wrong. You want to go to shower every 2 days or every 3 days. It's very, very interesting. There's certain parts of your body that you may decide you're going to bathe, you know, under your arms, for instance, in your perineal area, you know, in the pelvic area. You can certainly bathe and sunbathe, but I would not bathe your whole body, because basically going to every 2 or 3 day bathing can make a big, big difference. When you use the soap, you want to use a minimal amount of soap. You want the water not to be super hot, and you want to be in the shower a minimal amount of time. In other words, your goal is not to remove oil from your skin.
So do everything exactly the opposite of what I've been doing.
Right.
Long, hot showers, lots of soap.
Oh, yeah.
Right. Long, hot showers, lots of soap is absolutely wrong. Yeah. Right. Short, reasonably warm water with minimal amount of soap will leave the oil on your body and make a big difference. That's right. You're removing the oil every day that you shower. That's what you're doing. That's what produces this. Now, in the wintertime, is it worse for you than in the summertime?
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and especially up here in Montana, it's pretty dry.
It's very dry.
I can't wear anything dark. I don't wear black.
Do you have a vaporizer in your house, ultrasonic vaporizer?
No.
I recommend one in your bedroom. And the reason is you spend a third of your life in the bedroom. Well, most of us spend a third of our lives in the bedroom. And you want to make sure the air in the bedroom when you're lying around is the most moisturized air you can have. The ultrasonic ones are about $35 now, $40.
Really?
They do not make any sound at all. You can use regular water or distilled water. Regular water might clog it up a bit, so a lot of people use distilled water.
You have to fill them all the time.
You fill them every night. You fill them, but the fact is they'll get rid of you. You shut it off during the day, leave it on at night when you're in the bedroom, moisturize the air. That's another trick that will work. And then what do you do for a living?
I'm in the hot tub business.
You're in the hot tub business.
So how about long, hot soaps? Am I out with long, hot soaps?
That's exactly it. You're in the hot tub business. Well, as I said, if you notice that I'm actually stuck for words and you say you're in the hot tub business.
Yes,
but you're outside all the time. When you're in...
I'm outside all the time.
You know, when you are basically indoors, whenever you can moisturize the air, that's going to make a big difference to you. Because, as you said, Montana is very dry. The state is dry for the most part. Even in the summer, the state is often much drier than a lot of other states. And moisturizing the air around you will make a difference. How, by the way, is the hot tub business in Montana?
The hot tub business in Montana is very good.
It is
as good as it gets.
That's great. Yeah. I have a hot tub at home. I love it. I love it in the winter.
But you say don't take a hot shower. Isn't sitting for half an hour in a hot tub?
Yeah, of course. That's like it. But he's selling the hot tubs.
So we can't say don't buy a hot tub.
No, we're not going to say that at all. For him, he is selling hot tubs. I'm sure he doesn't go there. Do you sit in hot
tubs? Actually, we have a salt water system. Naturally sanitizing, but it's like a salt water pool, but a salt water hot tub that actually helps my skin.
Right, and a salt water hot tub will make a difference, and that will help your skin. So you see, what you have to do now is sell more hot salt water hot tubs.
I'm an evangelist for them, yes.
It's great. Well, thank you so much, and thanks for selling those hot tubs. I love my hot tub, especially
in the
winter.
Thank you for the plug. I appreciate the tip. That is everything you said I'm doing the opposite of.
That's exactly.
I really appreciate you nailing that for me.
Thanks for your call.
We appreciate the call. 1-800-462-7413 is our toll-free number. We'll get back to the phones, but first, Zorba, we talk about polar bear plunges in the middle of winter.
Yes, polar bear plunges. You've seen it on TV. Perhaps you've done it yourself.
Good one.
Wasn't that good?
Yeah, good one.
Wasn't that good? Perhaps you've done it yourself.
Yeah.
You know, plunging in the water is really healthy for you. I've never done a polar bear plunge. However, I have plunged into a pool when the pool was 50 degrees. And I remember when I jumped in the pool, and you know what my first thought was? This is ridiculous. What am I doing? As I'm going down into the water, I thought, this is really cold. I can't wait to get out of it. And as soon as I got up, I said, and screamed. It kind of went over to the corner. But the real question is it healthy for you? So what do you think, Tom?
I would guess it's kind of healthy for
you. Well, you know, that is exactly what the thought was when in 1903, so about 110 years ago, the Coney Island Polar Bear Plunge, the oldest winter bathing organization in the United States.
Okay.
Notice they say bathing as if they would take a bar of soap.
Yeah.
Was founded by Bernard McFadden, who believed that swimming in the ocean during the wintertime was a boon to one's stamina, virility, and immunity. Stamina, number one.
Right.
Immunity, help your immunity, number two. And virility, make you a...
Yeah, a real man.
A real man, that's right. You know, man up.
Yeah.
Jump into the cold water, man up. But anyway, getting back into the men and the women who jump into the water.
Yeah.
The answer is, it doesn't increase immunity.
Right.
It certainly does not increase virility. I don't think it increases virility at all. And some doctors wonder whether or not it's good for your heart. All of a sudden, plunging into cold water when you're not ready, you've got heart disease, you've got high blood pressure, you've got a history of a stroke. Should you jump into the cold water? And when I look at these doctors who say, well, maybe you should be checked out by your doctor before you plunge into the cold water, I don't know what I would do in the office. I would probably say, you've got medical problems. Don't do it. I mean, do I really need an exam?
Any science about this?
Zero. There's no science. We really haven't scientifically looked at people to see whether
or not. Well, then maybe it does do all of those things.
Maybe it does. That's exactly it. Maybe it does. Maybe McFadden was right. It does increase stamina, virility, and immunity. And you know what? I think I'm going to leave it to other people to really show me the way for the polar bear plunge.
Well, there's a bottom line. It either does or it doesn't.
That's right. Stay tuned. Next year, we will examine the polar bear plunge again.
Our toll-free number is 800-462-7413. 1-800-462-7413. And now, Zorba, a listener is with us in Reedsburg, Wisconsin. Hi.
Hi, how are you today? Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome. How can we help?
Well, I'm hoping you can help me with the problem I've had with my toes. It's kind of strange, and basically what happened about 3 years ago with my first pregnancy, the tips of my toes started getting extremely itchy, and this only happens, I have to say, this only happens at winter and at nighttime, okay? So they get extremely itchy, and then they swell up, turning purple and red. When they're not swollen, you can see tiny little red dots on my toes, and they're extremely, extremely tender. And I'm not exactly sure what's going on. When I went to the doctor, they told me that, oh, I also need to mention that I do have Raynaud's syndrome. So they just said that's what was going on. But it really... You know, it feels nothing like the feeling when I lose the circulation in my fingers. It's completely different. I've tried a lot of different things, treating it for athlete's foot, and nothing helps.
Hmm. Well, you had a caller earlier in the program with foot problems. Does it matter what shoes you wear or what socks you wear, any of that?
Not at all. Doesn't make a difference.
Uh-huh. Are you on any medications, by the way?
No, I'm not.
Medicines at all? Do you smoke cigarettes?
No.
No, nobody who listens to public radio smokes cigarettes, cigars, or pipes, not. Right, Tom?
Not anymore.
Not anymore. That's exactly it. Not anymore. Okay, I've got a couple suggestions. First of all, I do think this is related to Raynaud's. That's the most likely thing. You've got Raynaud's of the finger. You can get Raynaud's of the toe, and Raynaud's can be associated with swelling. We don't see it in the fingers and the hands because we're not putting pressure on them, and our hands are up and our feet are down. You know, so you know, gravity is going to affect that more. Double socks can make a difference. Have you tried double socks with a nylon interior sock, a wick-away
sock? No, I
haven't. That's exactly what I would recommend. I would double sock all winter long, and what I would do for the initial sock is I would wear exactly what people wear when they're hiking in the winter. And I do winter hiking, I do snowshoeing, where the inner sock should be a wick-away sock. You buy it at sporting goods stores. REI, for example, will have it. A number of stores online, Dick's Sporting Goods stores, they'll all have it. And basically, they're an inner liner that are made out of polypro or nylon. It wicks the moisture away from the inner liner, and then you wear a warm sock on the outside. Now, warm does not mean cotton. Cotton is not that warm. Cotton is okay, but it's not that warm. It should either be, once again, a polypro warm sock that you would wear, which they sell in all sporting goods stores, camping stores, and so on, or a wool sock. And it will make a huge difference. I mean, I'm not going to guarantee it because I'm a doctor, and doctors never put guarantees because then people want double their money back. But hey, actually, there's no money involved here, so I could guarantee this, and it wouldn't make
a
difference.
That's right.
Double zero is zero. But I would recommend the socks that I get when I'm skiing are called Smart Wool. That just is one example of a sock. There is another one called, I think, FIT. There are a variety of these that are on there. They're expensive. They're not cheap.
Yeah.
They often cost $10 a pair, $12 a pair, but they're incredibly warm. And what I would do is I would get one or two pairs of these, and then I would try that and see what happens. If you can keep your feet warm, they will swell less, they might disappear completely, and you will not have as much of a problem. It's a warmth issue.
Okay, well, I will give that a try.
Great. And let us know if you will. That would be really,
I will.
Really good idea. And we'll post a link to Raynaud's phenomena, and then I'll post a link to a couple of the socks that I would recommend. We'll put that on the website. I don't get any, you know, full disclosure, I don't get any money from any of the stores that I'll put it on. But we'll put a couple of examples of socks on our website. That's zorbapastor.org.
Okay, great. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much for the call. I'm wearing Smart Wool socks right
really?
Now as
how
we
come?
Speak. What, how come?
Yeah, that's
because
right.
It's winter in Wisconsin.
Because it's winter. There we go.
800-462-7413. It's toll free. Before we take a quick break, Zorba, let's log into the Zorba Pastor on Your Health inbox for another edition of Stump the Doc. This week's dilemma comes to us from Douglas, who needs your help nailing down the source of an odd noise. I'll let him take it from here. He writes, "Hello, Dr. Zorba. I'm a licensed massage therapist, and I have a client who always hears strange gurgling sounds around the base of her neck. After investigating a bit, I learned she suffers from headaches and insomnia. Any thoughts? All I got on the net were people with the same symptom and no answers. Thanks for your help."
Gurgling sounds.
Yeah.
Gurgling sounds. Headaches, insomnia, gurgling. Well, I'll tell you something that may be that he might be listening to. First of all, we can't talk to him, so I've got to kind of put on my Sherlock Holmes hat and use deductive reasoning, Dr. Watson. Are you Dr. Watson?
I'll be Watson, sure.
Okay. So, Watson, what do you think it is?
Well, the base of the neck, I'm assuming at the in the front of
That's
the
right.
base of the neck. Obviously, it's in some sort of swallowing.
That's right. Good thought, Watson. Good thought, Watson. Yes, it probably is swallowing. And you too, Watson, know that because, of course, you swallow every day, Watson.
Just as
you're doing now. And we've all heard those.
I know, Holmes, you can or not. You have the power to swallow or not swallow.
I have the power to swallow and not to swallow. But you, Watson, are ahead of the game by swallowing. And I think you're exactly right. This person might just have water within his gullet. And what I would recommend is my recommendation would be to use mouthwash, gurgle and gargle before you go to sleep at night. Make sure that you brush your teeth and that you clear your throat up before you go to sleep. And perhaps that will give you the answer. That would be my deductive reasoning. Thank you, Watson.
I actually am feeling today as though I'm gurgling a little bit as I'm talking on the radio. So,
Well, maybe that's because you have a cold, yeah. Watson. And you know, yeah. Watson, sometimes you do get colds because you don't always take care of yourself, Watson.
That's the truth. Have a gurgle you can't Google. Send your questions along in an email to
Zorba@WPR.org.
We have a recipe coming up with an ingredient I've never heard of, but I suppose most of you have. Anyway, after the recipe, more of your calls, some more information from the world of medicine, medical research, and our medical MythBuster, too, right here on Zorba Pastor on Your Health from PRI, Public Radio International. Tom Clark with Family Doc Zorba Pastor here on Zorba Pastor on Your Health. Our toll-free number again is 800-462-7413. We have an open line for you if you'd like to call us now at 800-462-7413. Before our next call, though, Zorba recipe time, this one for, correct me if I'm pronouncing it wrong, mushroom quinoa risotto.
Well, I would pronounce it mushroom quinoa risotto.
Risotto.
Risotto. But I'm not Italian.
No, you're right.
Yeah.
I'm sure you're right.
Are you sure I'm right?
I'm sure you're right.
No, like, risotto.
You've got risotto.
Risotto. But quinoa is certainly something my mother never cooked. Did your mother ever cook quinoa in your house?
Yeah, right. As I say, I don't know how to pronounce it, much less
right.
eat it.
And basically, to me, it's something that I haven't eaten in, you know, until the last few years. And we're looking at different grains, among other things, because there are a number of people who are intolerant to wheat. That's a good example. And also different grains that are used in different cultures other than a sort of traditional American culture are useful. And I think a more vegetarian diet with less animal products is always a healthier diet. I'm not a vegan. I am not a vegetarian. Mm-hmm. I'm an omnivore. But basically, if it's just a meat and potatoes diet, we know it's not good. And so this is an example. And for any of you who have not tried quinoa, this is a dynamite recipe to actually try it with and you see if you like it. We've got it here. Tom has not sampled it. So when we're done with this, we are actually going to be able to see what Tom thinks about this recipe.
Well, it smells very good, so I'm sure I'll like it.
So immediately we've gotten to first base, where Tom thinks it smells okay. And that's very good. Let's see if we can hit a home run with quinoa.
Okay.
Do I always have to use sports motifs when trying to
Well, you're
be
such
successful?
A sports guy. I mean, what else could we expect? How many guys on a basketball
team? That's right. How many basketball players can I name? I don't even know if I can get through the first five on my left hand.
But at least you know there are five on the court.
At least I know that. And I know the word basketball. And I do watch the occasional game. That's it. And, you know, and I am football. You know, I, like Woody Allen. You know,
I get it.
Mushroom quinoa risotto.
Risotto.
So start out with 2 teaspoons of olive oil.
2 little tea olive oil.
1.5 cups of quinoa.
Now, what is quinoa?
It's a grain.
A grain.
It's a grain.
Oh, yeah.
It's a grain. Okay. It's a grain. So it's a grain. You go to the store and you say, where's your quinoa? And if you go to Bill's Grocery in Oregon, Wisconsin, the guy will probably say, I'm sorry, I don't know where they are down
but
the street.
But most large
Yeah, they'll have it. And they actually have it probably in Bill's Grocery Store in Oregon where I live, in all seriousness. I don't know where it is in the store, though.
Yeah.
So you'd have to ask.
Yeah.
And now if you go to a place like Trader Joe's or Whole Foods, they probably have a huge display of quinoa. Quinoa crackers, quinoa this, quinoa your life.
I get it.
Okay. Okay. 2.5 to 3 cups of a veggie broth or low-sodium chicken broth.
Two and a half to 3 cups of a chicken or veggie, fat-free, low sodium.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. A bay leaf.
A bay leaf.
A tablespoonful of fresh thyme.
Big tea, fresh thyme.
I have a question. Why do we pronounce it thyme when it's spelled T-H-Y-M-E?
Well, why do we pronounce anything the way we do in the English language?
Why do we pronounce quinoa when it's spelled with a Q and a U? You know, it's not like queen.
Yeah.
Okay. Tablespoonful of freshly chopped chives.
Big tea, freshly chopped chives.
Quarter teaspoon of salt.
Quarter little tea salt.
You're going to have a little more olive oil in there with another teaspoons of olive oil. One medium onion, finely chopped.
A medium finely chopped onion.
That's right. 2 cloves of garlic minced.
2 cloves of garlic minced.
Now, when I cook, I often buy pre-minced garlic in small containers because then it stays fresh. Mm-hmm. And I'll buy large quantities of frozen garlic, and I'll use fresh garlic. I always triple or quadruple the amount of garlic.
I was going to say, you cheat on the garlic.
Always cheat on the garlic. Yeah. You can never have too much garlic. 1 teaspoon of Herbes de Provence.
From France, are they?
Yeah, Herbes de Provence. Minced dried herbs. They call them Herbes de Provence. Okay. And you could use Italian herbs, but it's basically an herb seasoning, which is really good. But if you're French, it's Herbes de Provence. Do you think they say herbs? No, they pronounce
it. No.
They're French. They don't pronounce any H's in France. I don't even know if they can say H. 2 cups of portobello mushrooms thinly sliced.
2 cups of portobello mushrooms thinly sliced.
That's right. And if you've got the cremini mushrooms, another 2 cups of cremini. Mm. Button mushrooms would work also. Mm.
Okay.
A 1/2 cup of dry white wine.
A cup of dry white wine.
Warmed a little bit.
Okay.
2 cups of baby spinach, fresh baby spinach.
2 cups of fresh baby spinach.
A tablespoonful of parsley that's fresh.
Mm-hmm. Big tea, fresh parsley.
And then we're going to have some salt and pepper and Parmesan cheese for
Okay.
Now, when you look at all this together before we go into it, you go, well, look, there's so many things here. You know, we've got close to 15 different ingredients. Mm-hmm. But most of these are going to be in your larder. You like the word? I finally got to use larder in a sentence instead of just reading it in a book.
I don't even know what that means.
Cupboard. Cupboard.
Oh, yeah.
Larders and cupboards, usually. But a lot of these are going to be not the fresh mushrooms and other things, but I think a good cupboard with spices will really spice up your life. So let us make the dish. Heat the oil in a saucepan over medium heat. That's the olive oil. Add the quinoa and toast it for 2 to 3 minutes. That's really important. So you're toasting it just like you would do, for instance, if you were making some rice dishes that you end up doing it if you're making a number. But you want to toast it because it gives a different flavor to it. Add 1 1/2 cups of stock, and you can start with that. You can add more later if you want to. The bay leaf, thyme, chives, pinch of salt. Increase the heat. Bring to a boil. Simmer for 25 to 30 minutes. If you don't toast the quinoa, it's not going to taste the same.
Well, how do you toast it? What do you put it in the oven?
Put it in oil, and basically you're sautéing it in the oil, and that gives a toasty taste to it. And it has a toasty taste. That's the best way I can explain it.
Yeah, can't put it in the toaster.
No, you can't put it in. No, he can't put it in your toaster. Add more stock. If it turns out it's not going to be moist enough, you may have to add a little more stock. Then remove the bay leaf and the thyme sprigs from the pot. Discard them. Set the quinoa aside. In another pan, heat 1 tablespoon of oil over medium heat. Add the chopped onion. Cook until translucent, about 3 minutes. Add the herbs, garlic. Cook until fragrant. That's going to be about 30 to 45 seconds. Add the mushrooms. Cook for another 5 to 6 minutes until they're nice and moist. Add the white wine. Cook until it's halfway evaporated just a bit. Then pour the quinoa into the mushroom mixture. Stir it gently. Sprinkle the spinach over the top. Cook another 3 to 4 minutes until it's slightly wilted. Add the fresh parsley and Parmesan and taste it.
This is delicious.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. You should have seen his face. I'm going to taste it, too.
It's delicious.
Mm. This is great.
Yeah, isn't it?
You like this, don't you?
It's your recipe. Why are you surprised?
You mean you like everything I say?
Well, moving right along.
Moving right along. Yeah. If you want a copy of today's recipe.
Yeah, what do you do?
You can't write us because we don't send it by mail anymore.
That's right.
We used to do that. But because you can't do it by snail mail, you can go to our website at ZorbaPastor.org. You can download this recipe and search for all your favorite Zorba Pastor On Your Health recipes. That's ZorbaPastor.org. Also, you can download our podcast of the show. And don't forget, you can find us on Facebook.
Yeah, trust me, you're going to want this recipe. It's delicious.
Unbelievable. Tom likes a recipe that doesn't have meat in it. Hooray!
1-800-462-7413. Our toll-free number, 1-800-462-7413. Back to the phones now, Zorba. A listener with us in Dallas, Texas. Hi.
Hey, how you doing?
Fine. How can we help?
I got a little situation. I usually sleep with my right arm underneath my pillow and my head on top of my arm.
Mm-hmm.
So about 5-6 months ago, when I woke up one morning, it felt like I pulled a muscle in my arm near my shoulder. But then I started to notice my collarbone sticking up about a half inch higher on my right side than my left side.
Mm.
And it's never has gotten better.
Mm.
So I really don't know what's going on. I went to my doctor. They didn't describe to me what could possibly happen. They just told me that I have to have an MRI done and go from there. But he wouldn't describe.
So let me get this straight. You went to your doc. Your doc said you'd have to have an MRI. They did not take an X-ray. They took an X-ray or not?
They did not.
So they didn't take an X-ray. I find that rather interesting. Here it is. You go to a doctor, and the first thing they say is, let's do the most expensive test we can.
Oh, yeah.
And figure out what this is. When in reality, at least you might look and see whether or not a plain X-ray, which is about a tenth to a twentieth of the price, may give an answer. Yeah. I find that sort of interesting.
Curious about this. Can other people notice this?
Yes.
Well,
when I'm wearing a T-shirt, they can notice it.
Whoa.
Oh, so when you're wearing the T-shirt, they notice it. Okay.
I am really interested in Zorba's answer to this because I sleep the same way you sleep.
Yeah, and do people notice your shoulder?
I haven't noticed anything yet. But
do other people notice it? How about Monica? Is she noticed it?
I don't have it yet is what I'm saying.
Oh,
but I've got a lot of years to go.
You have a fear? Are you worried you may get it?
Yeah, now I am. I've never heard of it.
So you put fear into Tom in the way that he sleeps. I, too, sleep in the same way.
Oh.
But I don't have the same fear.
Well, you better.
I better, right? Maybe I'm not looking at this. Okay, so no injury occurred at this time. In other words,
everything that I read, it's to have a dislocated shoulder, anything happen to the ligaments that connect the collarbone to the shoulder,
you have to have
blunt force trauma or something.
That is correct. So this is a collarbone. The collarbone is the bone that's on top of our shoulder in the front where it connects to our collar of our shirt. You can think of it that way. And it connects to the scapula, which is our backbone that kind of comes around to the front and it helps form the shoulder joint. But it sounds to me like it's an acromioclavicular dislocation, an AC dislocation between the collarbone and the scapula. And it may have happened because of degeneration. You can have it from previous injuries. Did you play any sports when you were younger, or are you young enough to continuously engage in sports now?
Yeah, I was a snowboarder when I was young, so I fell a lot.
Okay. So trying to figure out and piece together what probably happened is that trauma that you had years ago probably set you up for a ligamentous, if you will, inflammation in the AC joint. That's what it is. It's called, the shorthand is AC joint. And that what happened was when you were sleeping just one inconsequential stretch, when you're sleeping, that ligament probably then snapped. But it was the previous injuries that set it up for that. In other words, you didn't have trauma at the time it occurred, but you had trauma in the past. And so you probably disturbed that ligament, and it was hanging on by a thread, if you will, and then you slept in just the wrong way, and it snapped. That's what I think occurred here. This is then a cosmetic injury. In other words, that's what it is. You look at it and you've got a bump. But it's not a functional injury in that it's not going to affect you functionally. There are surgeries that are available where they will take the AC joint and they'll put wire around and wrap it to it. They often don't do it. The arthropods don't do it because it often doesn't affect the joint. But there is a surgery that would be acceptable for you to be able to do it. Your insurance might cover it or may not cover it, again, because it's a functional issue. But I think it was degeneration from previous trauma. And then you just stretched in the wrong way and it popped.
Wow.
And a plain X-ray would show this. You don't need a $10 million MRI machine to do it. A plain X-ray is easily going to show it. And it's a weight X-ray. They take two X-rays, one with your shoulder at rest and then one with, I think they have you hold a 10-pound weight. And they check it. And the 10-pound weight, you'll find a disruption in the joint by doing that. That's an inexpensive test. I'd have it done to find out if that's what it is.
Okay. Well, right now I'm afraid to go back to my general doctor, seeing how he wanted to go, straight to the top with an MRI.
If you like your doc, I would mention that.
Okay, thank you so much.
Yep.
Been a great help.
Thanks for your call.
Thank you very much for the call. That's nice. And before we get back to the phones, it's time to get back to another round of 4 cent advice. Today we're helping Debbie in Pewaukee, Wisconsin, who's struggling with some advice that's getting on her nerves. She writes, "Dear Dr. Zorba, my husband has been having severe pain above his left rib cage for 4 months. Now it's spreading to his back. We went to the ER and ran lots of tests, but no one has seen anything abnormal. His doctor believes it's a pinched nerve and just gave him 2 rounds of anti-inflammatories. Can a pinched nerve that no one can see really cause that much pain? He usually never complains, so I know this is really bothering him. Is there anything else he can do?"
Well, the answer is yes. There are things you can do. Anyone who has had shingles in the chest, which is a common place for shingles, knows how painful that can be. It can be awful, awfully painful. And the thorax or the chest is the most common place where you have shingles. Now, it's interesting that people can have shingles without the rash, the chickenpox virus kind of activating and the rash never occurs. Mm-hmm. We don't have a way of proving that or not proving that because without the rash, we don't know. But the answer is this does sound like neuropathic pain. Mm-hmm. Anti-inflammatories are not that effective for neuropathic pain. The drug called gabapentin, which is now a generic, is a really good drug for this. Gabapentin, 100 to 300 milligrams, 2 to 3 times a day, can really get something like this to settle down.
Yeah. That can affect people, though, gabapentin. I know.
Well, it can affect them because it can make them sleepy.
Yeah.
Sometimes
a
lower dose, the 100 milligram works. I have people on 800 milligrams 3 times a day, and they're not effective, and it works. But it's a drug that can be effectively used in the right proportion for the patient.
Okay,
but it's a very, very good drug for neuropathic pain. Mm-hmm. It works really, really well, and I think he should try a trial of that.
Mm-hmm. If you're in a pinch, just send your diagnosis doubts along in an email to
Zorba at WPR.org.
We have an interesting topic to talk about. We have some more of your calls coming up. We have our medical myth buster. Lots of good reasons for you to stick with us here on Zorba Pastor on Your Health from PRI, Public Radio International. Tom Clark with Family Doc Zorba Pastor here on Zorba Pastor on Your Health. Our toll-free number again is 800-462-7413. But Zorba, before we get back to the phones, we talk about snoring all the time here, but I've never heard the possibility of snoring being linked to heart problems.
Well, we know at one level snoring is a heart problem. We know that snoring and sleep apnea can go hand in hand with a risk of heart attacks and stroke. And we've talked about sleep apnea.
Well, that's true.
And people going on the what's called the CPAP machine to help them breathe. But there are a lot of people who snore who do not have sleep apnea.
Yeah.
And they just snore. And this particular study came out of the University of Pittsburgh, looked at 800 people between the ages of 45 and 75. 3 years later, they initially were looking at snoring. These are ones who snored loudly and ones who didn't snore loudly. And here's what they found. The people who snored loudly, and these are folks who did not have sleep apnea, but they snored now loudly, were twice as likely to develop metabolic syndrome. Now, metabolic syndrome is a cluster of risk factors for heart disease. It has to do with an increase in blood pressure. It has to do with truncal obesity, which is having more more fat around the gut. And we know that metabolic syndrome, which is sort of an increase in bad cholesterol and a decrease in good cholesterol, all these things together can end up in heart disease. But this is the first study to show that snoring may be a risk factor and that people who snore often are people who do not get enough sleep.
Huh. Now,
For one thing, loud snoring is a subjective term.
Sure, subjective term. From the other person.
If I'm snoring, I may not think I'm snoring very loud.
Well, you would know because you're sleeping.
No, I know.
So it's something that, yeah, it is a subjective term.
I'm saying the spouse can say, quit that loud snoring, when it may not be really listening.
That's exactly it. No, that's exactly it. But the study shows, which is what's interesting, first of all, people who snore should be checked for sleep apnea. We know that's important, so they get checked. But if they still snore.
But if you don't have sleep apnea,
the issue that this study brings up again is the epidemic of obesity that we have and diabetes that may be related to snoring and sleeping. Mm-hmm. And we now know the sleep problems consistently seem to be another risk factor for heart disease. And so snoring may be an issue.
So all snorers should be checked?
For cholesterol, blood pressure, good cholesterol, bad cholesterol. If they're overweight, they should try to reduce weight. And most importantly, they should try to get more sleep.
But they can't tell whether they have this potential heart problem.
Well, you can tell because you go to the doctor and you see. And the metabolic syndrome doesn't mean you have a heart problem, but you're at risk. And snoring may be another risk factor for heart disease that we now have to look at. And it might be just like cholesterol, just like blood pressure. It's something that we doctors are going to start to ask because it appears to be important.
1-800-462-7413 is our toll-free number. To the phones again now, Zorba, and a listener in Jacksonville, Florida is with us. Hi.
Hi there.
How can we help?
Well, I'm a big fan. I love the show. I love all the information that I get by listening. Thank you for the show, and thank you for the recipes. I'm a cook, and I have a cooking-related injury today.
Oh, how so?
Not from one of your recipes, from one of mine. I was doing something you should never do, which involved a large knife and something that was frozen. And I injured the top of my little finger between the two joints. I cut it quite deeply. And I did all the things you're supposed to do. I put pressure on it and I held it up. But it was a deeper cut than I've ever had. And I wanted to get back to my recipe, so I put an awful lot of pressure on it. Mm. And then later on, after dinner, I noticed, and the next day I noticed that I had blue, my finger looked bruised below and above where the cut was, around the knuckle. And I just wondered, should I do something about it or do something different next time?
Mm-hmm. Huh. I'm just having a mental image of taking that knife and cutting a frozen thing and that knife sliding and it's, ouch.
It was a bad cut.
Yeah, I can
obviously,
imagine.
Obviously so. So how long ago did this happen?
It happened a couple of days ago, and I did put an awful lot of pressure on it because it was a little scary.
Right.
And the cut itself is actually doing quite nicely, but mm-hmm. I have this blue color.
Oh, sure. Sure.
And I did the mom test, can you wiggle it? It's okay.
The mom test. I love it. I love it. Can you wiggle it? Well, did you kiss it? That's part of the mom test.
I actually did. And he also told me, don't ever do that again with that knife. It
you
was
see.
A big knife.
See, that's it. That's exactly.
Sure.
So I'll tell you what I think really went on. What happened is when you put pressure on there and you cause the equivalent of a black and blue mark, you broke blood vessels, downstream from where the cut was so that it wouldn't bleed. You pinched off the blood vessels, and then the blood vessels which are going to heal broke, just like if you had a bruise, if you hit yourself, we'll say, with a hammer and you would have a bruise in your finger. That's actually what you did. You caused a bruise to occur within your finger when you pinched off those blood vessels. And that's what it was. It is a black and blue mark. And then over time, it's going to turn, just like other black and blue marks, it's going to fade. It's going to turn yellow. It may actually spread to another part of the hand underneath, we'll say, into the palm. And it's because you put so much pressure on there. And it's going to get better.
Okay.
But that's it. Now, I haven't seen it. I don't have a picture on the radio, but this is exactly what it sounds like. And the reason why I know something like this will go away over time is that I have had the same experience. Now, I don't remember what I cut, but I love playing in the kitchen all the time, and so I cut myself. In fact, the Band-Aids are in the knife drawer where you're always looking for them. That's what I thought. That's the smart place to put them. And I have put enough, because I want to finish the dinner when I'm making it. and inevitably it seems to be dinner time. I want to finish things up. And so I, too, have put too much pressure on and caused a black and blue mark. So this will get better with time. Give it some time.
Thank you so much. And thanks for the show.
Well, oh, thank you thank very you. Much for the nice comments. Does a little blood help or hurt the recipes, Zorba? Time again now, Zorba, for our medical myth buster. And this week we have a sweet one. Some sources say that a bit of sugar can help babies cope with pain. Was Mary Poppins right? Does a spoonful of sugar really help the medicine go down?
And the answer is yes. Mary Poppins was right. Sugar is supercalifragilisticexpialidocious. Do you remember that?
Sure.
Of course. But the best way is that there were researchers a number of years ago who looked at sweet-tasting solutions given to children under 1 year of age. So these are kids under 1 year of age. You give them a sweet-tasting solution at the time that they get an injection. When they get their shots, they gave them a little bit of a sweet solution at the same time, just prior to the shot. And the ones who had the sweet solution cried less than the ones that were given a placebo, which was just a little bit of liquid that was not a sweet-tasting solution. So the answer is before you get your next tetanus shot,
okay,
what you want to do is have something sweet in your mouth,
yeah,
a sweet-tasting solution, and it won't be painful.
You won't cry. Less likely to cry.
As I was thinking, sorry. Less likely to cry. That's exactly it.
Have a myth for Zorba or just some sugar? Send it along in an email to
Zorba@WPR.org.
Back to the phones now, 800-462-7413, and a Billings, Montana listener joins in. Hi.
Hi, Tom and Dr. Zorba.
What's up?
Well, thank you for taking my call. And this is my situation. I'm 51 years old, and in the last 11 months, I've gone through a lot of different physical situations. I started with digestive problems, which went to acid reflux, I think, and then I had my gallbladder out.
Oh.
During this time, my taste buds became enlarged. They're better right now, but they're still swollen. So my question is, why did I get these swollen taste buds, and how do I get rid of them?
Uh-huh.
And also, you might want to know that I am a vegetarian, and I did lose 75 pounds during this whole process.
Wow. How'd you lose 75 pounds? That is a ton of weight.
It is a ton of weight. Well, I got freaked out by the acid reflux. It was the silent kind, and it went through my throat, and so I started having trouble, or thinking I was having trouble swallowing. Anyway, I went on a naturopathic regime and changed my diet, did a lot of juicing, and lost a lot of weight.
Congratulations, by the way. Congratulations.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it.
Yeah, that is absolutely wonderful. Losing that weight is a huge difference. You should really be congratulated for that. Is there any change in your taste? You looked at your tongue and you've looked at what they call the papilla on the tongue, and they're enlarged. You've noticed a taste difference or not?
Well, yeah, they're more responsive. Like I had ginger tea last night, and that got them all kind of worked up. So anything that's spicy or rough, they've gotten better. At first it was really bad, where in the back is where they were most enlarged on the left-hand side. And now they have calmed down, but things are just, they irritate them a lot quicker.
Pretty much so many things can irritate our taste buds. We don't actually taste in the tongue. Remember, the tongue is sweet, salty, sour, bitter, and umami, which is fullness. Those are the only things we actually taste. They can be irritated by acid reflux, irritated by viruses, irritated by certain foods. I wouldn't pay attention to how they look. But I would just be, as you said, it's getting better over time. Most of these improve over time. Now, if they don't improve over time, sometimes we will give a steroid nasal spray. It gets the smell receptors in the back of the throat to actually settle down. And then it often leaks down into the back of the throat. We'll take care of the papillae in the back of the throat, which you see and see enlarged. And I wouldn't do that now. I would just do it probably in 1 to 2 months if this does not seem to improve.
Okay, so I've had them for like 5 months. That's not that unusual?
No. And you just may – once again, I don't care about the way they look is irrelevant.
Okay.
In other words
– more how they feel.
It's how they feel. It's irrelevant. And so if you notice that certain foods seem to be bothersome, you just should stay away from those for a while. And so if it's hot, spicy food, you might have to go back to a meat and potatoes diet. That's a joke.
Okay.
You're not going back to a meat and potatoes.
Sounds good to me.
I am pretty much a dedicated vegetarian.
You'd go back to a potatoes and potatoes diet. But
yeah.
if there's certain foods that actually bother it or spices, I would stay away from those for a while.
Okay. So I had a lot of doctors look at it. Nobody was concerned. It was just kind of a quandrum, you know, where they came from. But
And these often are quandrums. And I've had people who say, why did I get this? And my answer is, I don't know. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, that's kind of what everyone else has said, too.
And congratulations on losing that ton of weight. You obviously are very dedicated. It has made a huge difference, I'm sure, in your life.
Yeah, in all areas. So thank you. Yeah, it was wonderful.
Congrats.
Yep.
Okay, thank you very much for your show. I appreciate it and your answers.
Oh, thank you. We appreciate your call. Before we go, Zorba, let's take a comment from Henry in Missouri, who's developed a little theory in response to our lard discussion a while back. He says, hey, Zorba, many years ago, I worked in the north during the winter. One evening, I came inside from 15 below temperatures, and my wife had cooked me a steak with quite a bit of fat. I'm a 70-year-old guy who can't stand the taste of fat in the summertime, but in the winter, it tasted like candy. I think that's why the Eskimos could eat butter and the folks up north could eat their lard sandwiches.
Well, have you ever tasted a lard sandwich?
No.
I have, and you know what it tastes like?
A lard sandwich.
It tastes like a lard sandwich. I think the Eskimos ate the lard because it was available. I think once butter came in, they did that. So
but
why
what
do
about
you have,
the better taste in the winter than the summer?
You know, they're just the foods that we tend to like in the wintertime more than in the summertime. I eat a lot of soup in the wintertime.
Yeah.
I don't eat a lot of soup in the summertime. And I think it's a psychological thing. There are certain foods we just like.
Yeah.
He associates that with warmth and comfort. And if he wants to have a blubber sandwich in the middle of the wintertime, go for it. But still, I don't think I'd eat too much of it.
Think this theory holds weight or not a fat chance? Well, send your thoughts along in an email to
Zorba@WPR.org.
See you next time, Zorba.
Stay well, Tom.
If you missed anything during the show or just want to download our show podcast, visit us on the web
at ZorbaPastor.org. And don't forget, you can find us on Facebook.
And you can call us anytime at 800-462-7413. Zorba Pastor on Your Health is a production of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's not intended as a medical diagnosis, so please do check with your doc. This show is produced by Gabrielle Pedriani. Our executive producer is Adam Friedrich, and our technical director is Brad Kohlberg. Our theme music is by Leon Ben Sidran. For Zorba Pastor, I'm Tom Clark, hoping you'll be with us for the next Zorba Pastor on Your Health.
Copies of today's show are available through the radio store at 800-747-7444. Ask for program number 0302Z. More information on Zorba, his clinic, and healthy living, including heart-healthy recipes, podcasts, and show archives, is available online at ZorbaPastor.org.
PRI, Public Radio International.